The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the head waiter." And so they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn it knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when the people have drunk freely, the inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. God is good all the time. So welcome to the second Sunday of Ordinary Time. Last week was technically the first Sunday of Ordinary Time, but we celebrated as the baptism of the Lord on that Sunday. This is the conclusion of the Christmas season. But this Sunday is a bridge between the Christmas season and ordinary days, which is a time of celebration, a time of reflection, and a time on reflecting on the wondrous deeds of Jesus' life, allows us to come to believe. Also note that today's gospel is from John, not cycle C, which we're in cycle C, which would be Luke. Interesting to note that John calls this Jesus' first sign. John was the last of the four writers of the gospel, and he noted that the other three writers left out this story, but he felt it was of great importance and it should not be left out. Also note that the synoptic version of Jesus' first sign is traditionally read on the third Sunday of Ordinary Time. And so we hear Luke's first sign next week, which is the driving out of the demon from the woman possessed. But let us first look at the first reading from Isaiah. Here, Isaiah is reassuring the people who have just come out of exile to be strong and vigilant. "You were once called forsaken, and your land was called desolate. But now your people are called my delight, and your land espoused." The Lord delights in making your land his spouse. As bridegrooms rejoice in his bride, so does the Lord rejoice in you. So these proclamations tell us that God's love and for them was faithful and unbroken. What a wonderful pairing of the first reading to today's gospel, which has a wedding as a setting. And as the Psalms say, we proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations. And here's the first of them. So today's gospel, we hear the familiar story about the famous story about the wedding feast at Cana. Weddings in those days weren't like a party that we have on one day like we do, but rather as much as a week-long celebration. We don't know what day these events occurred, but we can assume it was towards the end, which usually pairs up with the actual wedding ceremony. Jesus was a guest, and his mother was actively contributing to the ceremony. From this, we can gather that the bride and groom were somehow related to Jesus' family. There were so many rich symbols within these stories, and John always has a knack of weaving rich symbolism into his stories. Suddenly, the wine ran short. How many times have we fallen short? Fallen short of our goals? How many times have we found ourselves behind the eight ball, not quite making the mark? Mary isn't described as no more than just a guest in this reading, but she finds out that the wine is gone and tells her son. Jesus responds in a way that could only be defined as very disrespectful by today's standards, replying, "Woman, don't you know it's not yet my time? If I were to call my mother woman, I would expect a bit of retribution. But now, we'll take a moment to reflect on this." So the word woman is used in the first book of Genesis multiple times. And who is this woman? Well, of course, we know that it is Eve the Genesis book refers to. And the Bible claims that she was our first mother. Jesus refers to his mother as woman twice in the New Testament. Once here in Cana, and second at the foot of the cross when she gave the caretaker job to John to take care of Mary. This earns Mary the rank of the new Eve. She takes the place of our mother as Eve and becomes our blessed mother. Well, there are many other points of symbolism. For instance, because the story is a wedding, it reflects on the importance of community. John sees that the community of believers needs this story to strengthen them in their community. He tells it to show the established Christian communities how, while working together, anything is possible, even the miraculous. Further, the story reflects the need to listen to the needs of others, not just your own. Mary tells the stewards to do exactly what Jesus orders them to do, and so Jesus goes to work. The stewards do exactly what Jesus orders, not really understanding what they are doing or why. Both these actions show faith in action. And Mary, having faith in her son, and the stewards showing faith as well. Further in the story, we see actions that reflect obedience to God's words. "Do whatever he tells you," the mother tells the steward, and the stewards fill the 30-gallon jars with water to the brim. And there, it is obvious as to what is going to take place, but it is their faith. It is not obvious what's going to take place, but it is their faith and their obedience that are reflected in these actions. Suddenly, the stewards understand. When the head steward tastes the water that was transformed into the finest wine, the recognition of this miraculous miracle occurs, and the people suddenly believe that the man has power. Power to do miraculous things. We don't know if others in the wedding party actually were aware of what transpired, but we can bet that the stewards who were involved told the story over and over again in great detail to all that might be willing to listen. So why is a wedding the site of the first miracle? Well, It should be obvious. Marriage is not just a contract, but it's a covenant as well. And this covenant is the same as the covenant that God has with his people. I am your God, and you are my people. It's said over and over again in the Old Testament. And this theme is being carried out forward into the New Testament. Here, the wedding feast is being used as a metaphor to describe the salvation of the kingdom of God. Jesus establishes a new covenant. A hint of what the new covenant might be like is made evident in the actions Jesus performs. It was the six jars of the best wine that results in his action, which is nothing to what personal salvation brings to us in the acceptance of Jesus as our Savior. The lavish response to the simple human need and to the rather simple request from his mother that makes this miracle so relevant in the story of Jesus. The actions reflect the abundance of what can be expected in the kingdom of God. And it also stands as a challenge to us to respond generously when we are confronted with human needs in today's society. Weddings are a wonderful celebration, and we go out of our way to make the occasion festive and extraordinary. People work hard to please one another. What better image of the kingdom of God? Not every day is a wedding celebration, but we can anticipate the kingdom of God each and every day of our attentiveness to the needs of others less fortunate than we are. Bottom line is, Jesus has come, he lived a human life, and with the human condition, he had all the frailties except sin. He suffered and he died for our sins, and the only thing Jesus asks of us in return is to be obedient to the rules of the game, to love God, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And to what end? Well, to achieve the promise of everlasting life with God in heaven. Not really so hard, but many stones along the path we will encounter. And we need to turn our relationship to Jesus for comfort and relief from our burdens. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.